Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. I got a burning in my spirit today. You got a burning in your spirit today for truth. Oh, glory. A burning for reality. You know, sometimes we talk about things we already know, but there's a deeper arena to it. How many of y'all here are born again? Or if you're not born again, you certainly do have the opportunity to be born again. And that's when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you give your life to Him, and you let Him do with your life, because it's His life that He owns you. See, you and I were owned by darkness. Now we're owned by light. And I can tell you this, that when you are owned by light, you have a lifetime warranty. So if something goes wrong, you just bring yourself back to get repaired. And that's in His presence, because that's where you came from. Would you turn to the book of Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, please? Chapter 6. How many of y'all know there's a race of time? Oh, glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 11, let's speak this together, please. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our hearts are wide open. You are not restricted by us or man. You are restricted by your own affections. In other words, you are allowing influences of deception to restrict you. Has everybody got it? You are allowing this deception. You are allowing this influence. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as children. You also be open. And he explains to them, look it, here's your deceptions. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't go in business with unbelievers. Don't marry someone that's an unbeliever. Has everybody got this? For what fellowship has righteousness with what? Lawlessness. And what communion has light with what? Darkness. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Who's the Lord of the flesh? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. If you do what? If you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, he says something very powerful. He says, your restrictions are allowed because you're allowing your restrictions, because you allow influence of deception to manipulate. And then he says, look it, here it is. Listen, if you're not willing to listen to me as a father, then listen to me as a child. I got to speak to you in a childlike manner because you won't listen to me as an adult. So here it is, very simple. Come out from among them. Don't go in business with unbelievers. Hello. Don't marry an unbeliever. Don't fellowship with unbelievers. Come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean. Why? Because the world is unclean. He is talking about two different races. He says that there is a race that is unclean and there is a race that is clean. And if you fellowship in an area, you make covenant in an area with unclean, you contaminate yourself. Then he goes on to finish and he says, look at, what does he say? Let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Why? Because there's been contamination for yoking ourselves with unbelievers or another race. There is a race that is clean and there is a race that is unclean. Come out from among them. Now, this unclean race that we are right now is the ruling race of this world. They are unclean. They are the ruling race of this world. They are a separate race. I'm not talking about nationalities. I'm talking about another race. There are two races. There is a race of Christ and there's a race of Antichrist. And that is that. You're either in or you're out. One or the other. There are two races and you can't be in both. Because if you think you're in both, then you're out. You're either in or you're out. That's it. Is everybody okay? And he says, come out from among them. Come out of there. Oh, don't you trust me, he says. Who are you putting your trust into? Your own wealth? Your own abilities? Your boss? Your talents? Or are you putting your trust in him? What are we doing? Are we helping to expand the kingdom of God or our own kingdom? What are we doing? We are the eternal race or a dead race. We are the race of the clean or you're the race of the unclean. You're a race of justice or lies and deceit. You are a wheat or a tare. Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. I told you something was burning in my spirit today. This is urgency. This is reality. This is awakening. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1. What does it say? And you he made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And by his plan, which is grace, you've been saved. So you must cooperate with his plan. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace, of his plan, in his kindness towards us in Christ. For by his plan or by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. This gift is a manifestation of God's plan that we accept. Again, he's talking about the prince of power air, the ruler of the unclean world. He is a promoter of sin, he is the master of deception, and he's a finisher of death. He's the leader of the race of the unclean. So there's a race of clean or unclean. I want to go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 10, it says that he was in the world. Jesus was in the world. God was in the world. And the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name or follow him. Verse 13, read this with me. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's a whole new race. We were born of God. You know, there are many people who have children. Those are born of the will of man, born of the flesh. Has everybody got it? But there's another race that is born of God. In Proverbs 30, the race that is born of God is a clean race. Everything else is an unclean race. Proverbs 30. Sometimes our carnal brains have a hard time with this. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. Is everybody okay? Let's speak this together. There is a generation that curses its father. The word generation here means race. Does everybody got it? It does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation, again, this is a separate race, whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives, to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among men. This is a separate race. This is an unclean race. It is a generation. It is an evil race. in Psalm 102. Hallelujah. Psalm 102 in verse 12. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever in remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. Why? Because there is a race of time. Now, the meaning of the race of time means that there is a race that's associated with reality. And there is a race that is out of time. Has everybody got it? In other words, in the race of reality, the race of time is associated with God's time, which is eternal. But then there's a race, and I'm not talking about nationality. I'm talking about two races. There's only two races. There's a race of Christ, and there's the race of Antichrist, and that's that. The race of Antichrist are those who are going to do their own will instead of God's will. They're going to live according to their ways and how they believe and how things should be done without direction from the Lord. That is the Antichrist race. There is a wicked race. It is an evil race. And that race is running out of time. But the race of Christ is eternal. There's no time. Has everybody got it? In Psalm 102, hello, I love this. This is just so powerful. In verse 14, it says, "For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." This will be written for the generation to come, or a race that would be birthed and come forth, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. That means there will be a race that will be born of the Spirit of God that will praise the Lord. Their desire will be His presence. Their desire will be His will. It will be a race, a generation. For the Lord looked down from the height of his sanctuary from heaven. The Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in a way. He shortened my days. I said, "Oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. For years are throughout all generations." Again, there is a race that is being created, has been created. That's why Jesus came, to start a new race. Has everybody got it? Jesus came to start a new race. And this is why he came, to bring a new covenant. Because there would be a new race with a new covenant. Because the old one would be fulfilled through Jesus. So there's a new race and there is a new covenant. We are a race of clean race that exposes an unclean race. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. We are a race of time because it's God's time, so we're eternal. But there's a race that's out of time. A generation is a race that will praise Him, a new creation race. At a set time, there's a race of reality. Everyone say reality. Yeah. That declares truth, exposes the lie, and suppresses evil desires. I'm going to say that again. We are a race of reality that declares truth, exposes lies, and suppresses evil desires. In the book of Ezra, in chapter 9, Ezra. Is everybody there? In verse 1. It says, "When these things were done, the leaders came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Pezerites, whatever they are, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Edomites, and every kind of mite. For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed, again, is mixed with the peoples of those lands. Indeed, the hand of the leaders and the rulers have been foremost in this trespass. So when I heard this thing, I tore my garment and my robe and plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Again, in this, what they did is they took wives for themselves. They took on pagan wives. They were in a land of unclean, mixing clean with unclean. And when you mix clean with unclean, it produces confusion, instability, and deception. It was a mixed race that was contaminated. It needed to be cleansed. That's why the Lord said, come out from among them now. In other words, he put up with it so much. But Jesus has come to set up his race. There's only one race now. That's an eternal race. And the other race is not eternal. There's a race of life and there's a race of death. One or the other. There's two races. One is contaminated and one is clean. Jesus made it so that when we were of a contaminated race, the opportunity was to come out, get cleansed by the blood of Christ, be healed by the stripes of Jesus, be filled with his spirit, and walk in a clean way, maintaining cleanliness so that we do not contaminate ourselves again. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, there is a race of time right now. See, we need to begin to look at certain things. We need to look at this. We need to get this understanding. There's two races. There's a race of Christ and a race of Antichrist. That's that. And what we're going to be yoked up with. And as believers, are we contaminating ourselves or keeping ourselves clean? Ephesians 2 and 11. Is everybody there? Therefore, read it with me. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh that enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from two, or a new race, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, one race, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father, because there is one race, or is one true race. Has everybody got it? Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The true race, the reality race. A new creation, a new race in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 16. Race of time. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Why? Because that is another race. Does everybody got it? 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Come on, read it with me. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. In other words, we don't regard people according to their works, their appearance. We don't regard people. We regard people according to what race they belong to. For we regard no one according to the flesh. Look at this. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. See, Jesus came as a Jew, didn't he? Are you listening? He's no longer a Jew. He is the Christ. It's got nothing to do with according to the flesh. Nationalities are according to the flesh. Does everybody got it? We're not according to the flesh. People go to me, are you Italian? No, I'm Christ. Of course, if they don't understand that, I go, yeah, and I'm really Italian. I'm Christ. My blood now runs from the throne room of God, not from my ancestors. I am a new creation in Christ. I no longer carry a nationality. I live in a new race. It's an eternal race. That's why the Lord said, cut loose your traditions. Why? Because it keeps you bound here. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, in a new race, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you realize how many people fight for their traditions and nationality? Come on, think about it. Then you're still fighting for a lost race. Come on, it's okay. Does everybody understand that? In other words, people make that a priority. It's a proud arena. It's a dead arena. It produces no life. It produces bondage. You're either in Christ or you're not. He wants us all in. Every area of our life, in. Anything that's out has access from the devil to get you. I'm not telling you got to go home and throw out all your rice and beans and everything, or your spaghetti, or whatever. Hello. But that's not priority anymore. I do not promote my nationality. I promote my race. I'm no longer of a nationality. There's no nationalities in the eternal realm. Hello? There's no color. We all the same, man. We're all one. Oh, glory. New creation, a race by redemption. No longer a race of the flesh, but a race of the spirit. With an eternal time, not a short time. Not of a nationality, but an eternal race of righteousness. Revelation 1. So, even though I am a Christian meaning a race of in Christ. Has everybody got it? But see, people utilize it as a religious belief system. Oh, you're a Christian. No, I'm a race. I'm in a new race. That's why when people say, are you American? Hello? What's that associated with? Their land. We are not associated with this place any longer. This is not your home. Don't get comfortable. Because your world is about to get shaken. Because the world is getting shaken. And anything in this world will be shaken. What you've been relying on, you'll find will begin to crumble. What you've been trusting on, you'll find will begin to crumble. It won't mean anything. Revelation 1 and verse 12. Is everybody there? He said, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. So, I've never seen a Jew, an Italian, or anyone else look like this. I've never seen an American, Puerto Rican, I don't care what your nationality was. There's no one that looked like this. Unless somebody tried to dress up like that person for Halloween and it didn't work. This is the race we belong to. Does everybody got it? This is who Jesus is now. He is no longer the flesh. This is how you're to acknowledge him, because this is our race. Stop looking at yourself in the mirror and judging who you see in the mirror. Unless you see other faces in there, get them out of there. Hello. We do have a teaching called Who's in Your Mirror? But there's only two races. There's the race of Christ and the race of Antichrist. And we must begin to look at everything in this arena. Don't be yoked. There's always trouble. The end result is always trouble, no matter what. In Galatians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 14. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me. The world has been crucified to me. In other words, it's dead to me. And I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Crucified to the world, and the world crucified to me. In other words, he's a part of a new race. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Let's speak this together, please. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Ooh, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Hello, put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. So he's saying, look at this letter is written to the body of Christ. And because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people who call themselves believers who are going to be real surprised. In which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, there's neither Greek nor what? Jew. Circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the new race. Not of the earth. You and I have been taken out of the race of darkness and deception and death into the race of light and truth. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Is everybody there? In verse 14. Do all things without what? Complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. You know why people complain? Because they've allowed influence. You know why they complain? Because the enemy is trying to infiltrate to prevent them from completing the mission that they started. They allowed the enemy to open the door. He knocked and they said, "Who's there?" And he says, "It's me, Mr. Complainer, Master of Deception. Allow me access so I can influence you to stop what you're doing because it's hurting my kingdom." Hello. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation or a perverse race, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Again, one of the things that begin to happen is the enemy will begin to infiltrate an area because we let him. See, people live by how they feel instead of what truth is. "Well, you know, I just don't really feel like doing this anymore." Oh, you poor thing. I can imagine Jesus felt like that before he hung on the cross for me and you. He didn't want to. But he wanted to. He didn't feel like it. He knew the pain of the torment and torture. He knew the pain. In fact, when he prayed before it even started, his sweat dripped blood. So his first shedding was prayer before he went to the cross. He shed blood before he even went to the cross because he prayed, because he knew that fight within him did not want to feel the pain. But he saw it all the way through to realize his purpose. See, so many people don't lose sight of the purpose because the pain is misleading them, and they don't finish what they're supposed to. And they go back in cycles, and many of them back into the wrong race. In 1 John chapter 2, many people are in need of endurance. They're in need of endurance to deny themselves and crucify their flesh and come out of the emotional arena, the soulish place. Man, when people tell me, I just feel, man, I want to slap the hell out of them and make room for heaven. I just feel, oh, gosh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Is everybody there? Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come. Hello, that's a whole nother race. By which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifested, that none of them were of us. They were of another race. Does everybody got it? Or they chose to come out of the race of Christ and go into the race of Antichrist. You know, many people leave the kingdom and go into the world. The Antichrist race, which is short time, it's running out of time. In the Antichrist race, I'm going to explain a couple of things. The followers, true followers, have sold out their soul to Satan. There are true followers who have sold out their soul to Satan for wealth and fame, power. They admit it. They do satanic rituals. Halloween is their best day. They sacrifice children, animals. They are followers. And then there are those of the Antichrist race who are deceived, like atheists, Muslims, Hindus, and all the rest, all these religions. Any religion that denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God and God is Antichrist. Has everybody got it? That's a whole other race. They're worshipers of creation instead of worshipers of Creator. What's that? Christian Science. It's Antichrist race. They try to put the word Christian in it to try to deceive people, but they do not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as God. They're all full of science. That's world. Has everybody got it? So the Antichrist race has true followers and those who are deceived. They're under the sway of the wicked one of the world. They're gods. They have idols. Their idols are their jobs, their money. They serve everything. Their whole purpose is to expand self instead of the kingdom. That's the Antichrist race. Self is God. They deny Jesus. They're rebellious children. The race of Christ confesses Jesus is not only the Son, but is the God who came flesh. I want to go to Isaiah 30 first. Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. The Antichrist race. God calls them a rebellious. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel. Is everybody there in verse 1? Isaiah 30. I want to be more definite of understanding here. The Antichrist race. Again, there's two followers. There's the followers and there's the deceived in the Antichrist race. In verse 1, it says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. And who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt. Egypt is the world of bondage. That represents the world. And have not asked my advice to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Does everybody see that? This is the Antichrist race. They do not get counsel from the Lord. In fact, they don't even ask counsel for anything. They just go do what they feel. In Revelation chapter 12, there are a race that's almost out of time. In verse 7. Revelation 12 and verse 7, it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, because he started another race. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a what? Short time. That is the Antichrist. Does everybody got it? Race. They are almost out of time. So that's why you see all kinds of things exploding right now in government and everything else. Why? They don't care anymore. They know that they're out of time. Time is short. Their hope right now was to delay judgment and rescue their king, prince of power of air, Satan, from the sentence of this earth and his rulers, who are angels that have been chained. See, even though that they deceive the world, they're the most deceived. They actually think they can beat Jesus. His race will be destroyed, and any followers of his race will be destroyed. But the race of Christ will live on forever. It's an eternal race. But in the race of Christ, now, there is the carnal and there's the spirit-filled. The spirit-filled is equipped, empowered with relationship. They are equipped, empowered, and maintain relationship. They are followers of Christ, expressors of Christ. They expose darkness, and they are lovers of his presence. Their desire is to deny a self and maintain the identity of Christ, never losing their ID, fighting for their identity always. And they are warriors. Matthew 25. So the race of Christ has the carnal Christian and the spirit-filled Christian. In Matthew 25 and verse 1, it says, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Amen, Jesus. We are the bride. We are the race that is called the bride. And we'll talk about the false bride in another teaching. Now, 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. That means they had no holy, they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You worship. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Virgins mean they were washed by the blood of Christ. They accepted Jesus as their Lord. Well, basically as their Savior. Because when you accept him as your Lord, then he's Lord over your life. A lot of people say, yeah, I accept Jesus as my Lord in life, but he's only their Savior. There's not a Lord, his Lord. See, when he's your Lord, he is Lord over your life. In other words, nothing goes without him. Nothing's done without going through him. Now he's Lord. Other than that, he's just your Savior. And you hope that he's there when you're in trouble. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Everybody must work out your own salvation. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Why did he not know them? Because they were not in the Spirit in relationship. Does everybody got it? They really didn't have a relationship, did they? Listen, when you have a relationship with someone, you know them, don't you? There was no relationship. It was a bunch of religion. Oh, they accepted Jesus, but did they didn't stay filled with the Spirit? They were foolish. They were carnal. They allowed pollution into their lives to prevent them. They were serving two masters. They were double-minded, unstable. That's a carnal. In Romans 8, they relied on their wealth as their God. They relied on their abilities. They relied on themselves. Romans chapter 8, is everybody there? Anybody there? I'm getting there. I got a new Bible. See, it's a little bit sticky. My wife bought me a new Bible. It'll be broken in. Romans 8, verse 5. Would you read it with me? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. Hello. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, I hope, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. So again, those who set their minds on the things above are living in the Spirit. Why? They're always, the Lord is always before them. They're always acknowledging the Lord. He's the Lord of their life. He's always in front, always inviting him, always asking for his counsel, lover of his presence. Why? Because you want to know him more. You maintain a thirst and hunger to want to know him more. You know that when you go, listen, the world is unclean. The secret place of Christ is underneath his covering. When you walk out of that place, you walk into a world that is unclean. It's like you just walk into exhaust of a vehicle. And it gets on you, you breathe it in, and you don't even realize that you're getting dirty or you're dying. Carbon dioxide or whatever kills you. Actually, you sleep. Don't you fall asleep and you die. That's what the world is like. They're asleep and they're dying. So when you walk out of the, even though we live in the world, we don't breathe what the world breathes. We breathe breath of life. They're still breathing prince of power of air, death. It's different. So whatever you're covered under in the area of Christ, you're either covered under the Christ, the race of Christ, or the Antichrist. And if you're a carnal Christian, you got one foot in and one foot out. If you're not setting your mind on the things above, if you're still fighting for your life and in survival mode, you're carnal. If you're still chasing strange flesh, you're carnal. Hello? Do not be unevenly yoked or you'll be contaminated. Because once you get contaminated, you become carnal. And it says that it is death to be carnal minded. The race of Antichrist is lost, living outside of salvation's truth. The race of Christ is found, fighters of unseen natural deceptions. We are a race that lives in real time. The Antichrist race is running out of time. And I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 2. And then maybe one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. What's generation mean? Race. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from lustful flesh, which war against the soul. Why? Because it will contaminate you. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Does everybody see that? We are a royal race. And now I want to close at Psalm 112. Powerful psalm. Race of time. We are a race of reality. And there is a race that's running out of time. They may think they've won, and it may look like they're beating, but we know the end result. Their rule is only temporary. Ours is eternal. Psalm 112, let's read this together. Is everybody there? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright, the what? The race of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. In other words, he won't get unevenly yoked. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. He talks about the two races right there. We are the race of Christ, but there's another race that dwells among us called the Antichrist race. We must discern this. We must be awake. We must know. Time's running out. Rescue, rescue, rescue. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed of your word be imparted, implanted, and protected in each and every one, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. I rebuke the devourer that would try and steal the seed. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'll not only protect the seed, but protect your people. And let your blessings be upon your people today with more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.